Enrichment C. The Messianic Hope in Ancient Israel. C-1. The Jewish nation believed the scriptural promise of a Messiah. For centuries, the prophets of Israel had foretold the coming of a Messiah. From Adam to Malachi, the prophets told the people of the day when the God of Israel would come to earth, take flesh upon him, and become their Savior and Redeemer. Isaiah's prophecy represents the messianic hope that existed among the covenant people. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even for ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And yet when the long-awaited day arrived, most of the Jewish people failed to see that the prophecies were fulfilled and rejected Jesus as the Messiah. The Apostle John wrote that Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And yet the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The English word Messiah comes from the Hebrew Meshiach, meaning anointed. The Greek equivalent is Christos. Both words carry the idea of one who is anointed of God. The Hebrew word Yeshua, Jesus in the Greek, means Savior or Deliverer. The two words combined denote one anointed of God to save or deliver his people. Dozens of prophecies clearly signaled the coming of this Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled them all. Then why did so many of his own people reject him? The answer to that question lies partly in an understanding of the messianic hope of Israel. C-2. The Jewish nation looked beyond the mark. When Jesus made his appearance on earth, the Jews were in bondage to the Romans. It was not the first time a foreign nation had controlled the Jewish land, nor would it be the last. But the Jews chafed under the Roman yoke and regarded their Gentile overseers as hard taskmasters. During the years of bondage to the great empires, the idea of a deliverer began to take on political overtones. Many overlooked the spiritual significance of the coming Messiah because they longed for one with the power to throw off the hated enemies that ruled them. The people came to see the Messiah not as one who would provide atonement for their sins, but as one who would deliver them from their enemies by physical force. A Book of Mormon prophet explained, "But behold, the Jews were a stiff-necked people, and they despised the words of plainness and killed the prophets, and sought for things that they could not understand. Wherefore, because of their blindness, which blindness came by looking beyond the mark, they must needs fall." Jacob chapter 4, verse 14. They stumbled upon the very stone upon which they might build and have safe foundation. Jacob chapter 4, verse 15. The mark beyond which they looked was Christ. When he did not come in the manner they anticipated, they looked beyond him for another who should come. Thus they still wait for the coming of the Messiah. 2 Nephi chapter 6, verse 13. C-3. The Messianic Hope taught from the beginning. The expectation of an anointed deliverer is called the Messianic Hope. This hope was very real for the ancient house of Israel and extended into the distant past, even into the premortal council in heaven. After explaining the need for a Redeemer, Father in heaven asked, "Whom shall I send?" Abraham chapter 3, verse 27. Lucifer replied, "Behold, here am I, send me. I will be thy son, and I will redeem all mankind, that one soul shall not be lost. Wherefore give me thine honor." Moses chapter 4, verse 1. Jehovah replied, "Here am I, send me." Abraham chapter 3, verse 27. "Thy will be done, and the glory be thine forever." Moses chapter 4, verse 2. Jehovah was chosen as Messiah, and Lucifer, with a third of the spirit children of God, rebelled against the Father's decision. As a result, Lucifer became the devil. He, with all his followers, was cast from heaven to the earth. Refer to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Adam was then placed on earth. After his fall from Eden, Adam was taught about the Messiah who would come to redeem all mankind, even as many as will. Moses chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Later, Enoch was shown in vision the mortal mission of the Son of God. Refer to Moses chapter 7, verse 47. And Enoch rejoiced in these words, "Blessed is he through whose seed Messiah shall come, for he saith, I am Messiah, the King of Zion, the Rock of Heaven." Moses chapter 7, verse 53. C-4. Jesus would be like Moses. From Enoch to Abraham, and from Abraham to Moses, the messianic hope was perpetuated. Moses taught his brethren, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Jesus identified himself to the Nephites as the very prophet of whom Moses spoke. "Behold, I am he," he said, "of whom Moses spake, saying, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you." 3 Nephi chapter 20, verse 23. C-5. The Messiah would sit on David's throne. Like Moses, King David of Israel was a type or symbol of Christ. It was said that Messiah would sit on David's throne and judge the house of Israel. Refer to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Jeremiah wrote, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. C-6. Why did so many misinterpret prophecy regarding the Deliverer? As the years passed and the messianic expectation remained unfulfilled, many interpreted the sayings and writings of the prophets erroneously. It is not surprising that they came to see only the political aspects of the Messiah, since there was a scriptural basis for such a belief. Several hundred years before the birth of Christ, Zechariah wrote of a day when the Lord, Messiah, would fight against the Jewish enemies, as when he fought in the day of battle anciently. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3. Zechariah pictured Jerusalem being delivered in great power from all who had opposed her. Refer to Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. Isaiah spoke of the Messiah as having the government upon his shoulder. Refer to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. That phrase certainly suggested a political kingdom. Numerous other prophets foretold his coming in power and glory. When one studies the prophecies carefully, however, a dual picture of the Messiah emerges. One picture is that of the suffering servant. Isaiah chapter 53 is an outstanding example of the suffering servant kind of prophecy. It foretells the sufferings of the Messiah. "He will be a man of sorrows," verse 3, "one who stands as a sheep before her shearers," verse 7, "one who takes our transgressions upon himself." The other picture of the Messiah is that of the King of Glory. Zechariah chapter 14 and Isaiah chapter 9 contain examples of the King of Glory prophecies, which paint a picture of deliverance, political power, and the destruction of the enemies of Israel. Latter-day Saints, with the benefit of modern revelation and a perspective of history, easily understand this dualism. There are two comings of the Messiah. Christ came the first time as a mortal. He was born in a stable, lived in a town of little reputation, took no political role, and flatly rejected attempts to make him a king. This coming was foretold in the suffering servant prophecies. His second coming will be in fulfillment of the King of Glory prophecies. He will put down all kingdoms and deliver Israel from the powers of Babylon. David H. Yarn explained, "From the time of the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., until the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70, with the exception of the short-lived and insecure Maccabean revolt, the Palestinian remnant of Israel was a subject people of the great powers. First, they were victims of the Babylonian captivity. Then they were ruled in turn by the Persians, the Greeks, the Ptolemies, and the Seleucids. And the efforts of the zealous Maccabeans to establish Judaic control was succeeded by subjection to the rising world power, Rome. As the centuries passed and the seemingly endless servitude to heathen powers continued, the Jews hungered for their liberation. It seems that the messianic vision of the prophets, which included the first coming of the Messiah, with his personal redeeming sacrifice, and his second coming to usher in the messianic age, millennial reign, in the last days, became fused in the minds of the people, or at least in the desires of the people. They remembered the prophets had promised one like unto Moses, and a son of David, who would be raised up as the Messiah to deliver them, even as Moses and David had delivered them. But when the Lord came into the world, they seemed to have forgotten the personal aspects of the Redeemer's life, and remembered only those parts of the prophecies which had to do with political matters, or the establishing of a permanent kingdom.
The Messianic Expectation, Ensign, April 1972, pages 20 through 21.
Thus, when the Savior refused to take up the sword against Rome, the Jews' hopes were dashed, and his crucifixion was seen by the majority not as a fulfillment of prophecy, but as proof that he could not have been the promised deliverer. C-7. The Messianic Expectation in the Book of Mormon. The Old Testament and Book of Mormon prophets understood the true picture. In a great vision given some 600 years before the Savior's advent in the flesh, 1 Nephi chapter 11, verses 13 through 33, Nephi learned that the Messiah would be born of a virgin after the manner of the flesh, verse 18, would be baptized by a prophet who should prepare the way before him, verse 27, would go forth ministering unto the people in power and great glory, verse 28, and would heal the sick and infirm. They knew that he would suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 7. Nephi and others foresaw that he would be treated as a thing of naught, rejected by his people, scourged, spit upon, and crucified. Refer to 1 Nephi chapter 19, verse 9, and Jacob chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. C-8. The Messianic Expectation in the New Testament. Other messianic prophecies reveal the life and mission of the Messiah in detail. Those who believed in Christ saw the fulfillment of these prophecies in his life. The writers of the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pointed out how Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies that referred to the coming Messiah. For example, Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Compare Micah chapter 5, verse 2 with Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Would be an object of great adoration. Compare Psalm 72, verse 10 with Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Would be preceded by a forerunner. Compare Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 and Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 with Luke chapter 1, verse 17 and Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. His ministry was to begin in Galilee. Compare Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 with Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 and 16 through 23. He would teach in parables. Compare Psalm 78, verse 2 with Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. His ministry would be marked by miracles. Compare Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, with Matthew chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. And by rejection of his message, compare Psalm 69, verse 8, and Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, with John chapter 1, verse 11, and John chapter 7, verse 5. Near the end, Messiah would enter Jerusalem in triumph on the back of an ass. Compare Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, with Matthew chapter 21, verses 4 through 5, would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Compare Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12, with Matthew chapter 26, verse 15, would be betrayed by a close friend. Compare Psalm 41, verse 9, and Psalm 55, verses 12 through 14, with John chapter 13, verses 18 and 21, and would be deserted by his associates. Compare Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, with Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 56. He would be smitten on the cheek. Compare Micah chapter 5, verse 1, with Matthew chapter 27, verse 30. Spat upon. Compare Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, with Matthew chapter 27, verse 30. Mocked. Compare Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8, with Matthew chapter 27, verse 31, and then 39 through 44. And beaten. Compare Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, with Matthew chapter 26, verse 67, and chapter 27, verse 26, and verse 30. His hands and feet were to be pierced. Compare Psalm 22, verse 16, and Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, with John chapter 19, verses 33 through 37. Yet not a bone in his body would be broken. Compare Psalm 34, verse 20, with John chapter 19, verses 33 through 36. He would be numbered with transgressors. Compare Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, with Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. He would be given vinegar to drink. Compare Psalm 69, verse 21, with Matthew chapter 27, verse 34. While thirsting and in pain, compare Psalm 22, verse 15, and John chapter 19, verse 28. When dead, he would be buried with the rich. Compare Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, with Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 60. But his body would not see corruption. Compare Psalm 16, verse 10, and Acts chapter 2, verse 31. For he would rise from death. Compare Psalms 2, verse 7, and 16, verse 10, with Acts chapter 13, verse 33. Making it possible for all the dead to rise. Compare Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19, and Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, with Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 through 53. C-9. Jesus is the Christ, the expected Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of a mortal mother and an immortal father. He made an infinite atonement for man's sins. He was resurrected, thus opening the doors of immortality and eternal life for all mankind. Jesus is the only individual who ever lived to have the details of his birth, life, mission, death, and resurrection spelled out in public documents centuries before. Who could have written the life of any great man before it happened? Nothing but divine foreknowledge and power could have revealed the life of Jesus in such detail, and then brought it to pass. No person could have done this. It was God's way of placing his divine stamp on the life and work of his only begotten Son, a means for letting all mankind know that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the hope and desire of the ages. President J. Reuben Clark, Jr. said, "We of our faith know that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. This is our knowledge. We must proclaim it at all times and under all circumstances." So as I conceive it, we must stand adamant for the doctrine of the atonement of Jesus Christ, for the divinity of his conception, for his sinless life, and for, shall I say, the divinity of his death, his voluntary surrender of life. He was not killed. He gave up his life. It is our mission, perhaps the most fundamental purpose of our work, to bear constant testimony of Jesus Christ. We must never permit to enter into our thoughts, and certainly not into our teachings, the idea that he was merely a great teacher, a great philosopher, the builder of a great system of ethics. It is our duty, day after day, year in and year out, always to declare that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ who brought redemption to the world and to all the inhabitants thereof.
In Conference Report, October 1955, pages 22 through 24.
C-10. Summary. Messianic prophecy was given by revelation. To understand it, one must have the same spirit of prophecy as the one who gave it. Peter said, "No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And John was told that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Refer to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. The Jewish nation did not have this spirit, because the leaders of the Jews had interpreted privately many prophecies concerning the Messiah. They did not recognize him as the Savior when he came to earth the first time. When prophecies began to be fulfilled, the Jews did not have the spiritual eyes to see the signs. Today, Latter-day Saints have every expectation that Jesus will come again. The prophecies and signs concerning his second coming are found in the Scriptures. Those who have interpreted privately or have built false notions of the Savior's second coming may not recognize the signs. The prophecies concerning the expected return of the Messiah are plain unto all those that are filled with the spirit of prophecy. 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 4. It is an individual responsibility to seek diligently with pure hearts in order to recognize the signs. End of the section, Enrichment C, The Messianic Hope in Ancient Israel.